Who's glad to be in the presence of God this afternoon? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good to be. It's great to be in the presence of God, isn't it? It's just the presence of God changes everything. Sometimes we carry so much burden. Sometimes we carry so much worries. Sometimes we carry so much insecurities. And I don't know what sort of baggage you've come to church with this afternoon, but I've got answer for you.
Amen.
Jesus. Jesus, amen. I've got answer for you, Jesus. And I pray that as we listen to the Word of God this afternoon, whatever thing that might be holding you back, I pray for that thing to be set loose in the name of Jesus. I pray for a complete release for your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because the scripture is very clear. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. See, He does not want us to be walking around with baggages in our back. No, no, no. He wants us free. Who believes that this afternoon? Amen. See, it all starts with that simple seed of belief. I believe the Lord wants to set me free. If you believe that this afternoon, and if you come to Lord with that expectant heart saying, God, I know I need you this afternoon. God, I know you're going to speak to me this afternoon. God, I know that the power of God is going to touch me this afternoon. Then it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. If you've got your Bible for you, please turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. Acts chapter 1. The title of my sermon this afternoon is Receiving the Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not any Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. Our God is alive. Amen. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command. Okay? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around Him and asked Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still don't understand it. They still don't understand it. Verse 7, He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or day the Father has set by His own authority. And Jesus goes back to saying the same thing which He said in verse 5 again. But you, okay, forget about that. But you will receive power. Amen. You will receive power. You will receive that power from heaven when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. To the ends of the earth. You see, to begin with, Luke wrote this as a volume 2 of a work that started with what we call the Gospel of Luke. You know, and he mentions the name, as we just read in verse 1, Theophilus. And Luke's salutation suggests that he might be an important person. Okay? Although we don't know if he's a Christian or not. He could be someone who was researching Christian faith. Okay? But what we do know from his name is his name means friend of God. Theophilus means friend of God. And hopefully, he lived up to that name. You see, the book of Acts is recorded accounts of the Holy Spirit in the church and through the church. Amen? In the church and through the church. The Gospel of Luke records what Jesus began to do and teach in his human body. Let me say that again. The Gospel of Luke records what Jesus began to do and teach in his human body, but the book of Acts is his continuation of what he did through his spiritual body.
Amen.
The church. Amen. Amen. The church. That commandment, that great commission. We've got that great commission. And it is our responsibility to run with that mandate. I mean, it's our responsibility to run with that message. It's our responsibility to run with that same power from above.
Yeah.
Signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm not talking about happy clappy, no, I'm not talking about lift my hands in the air and I'm alright with it. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about what the Bible talks about. Spirit filled, power filled, miracles, signs, wonders, healings. This was the daily thing for the early church. And I believe it should be the daily thing for the church today. Amen. It should be the daily thing for the church today. You see, so many times we push back all these spiritual truths and we come to a conclusion saying it was only relevant for the church then, but it's not relevant for the church now. But if the word of God is true now, and if Jesus is the same God and same Son of God who died for us and who rose again, then I'm sure that great commandment applies to us now. And it's relevant for us today. Amen.
Yeah.
See, Acts 1:8 is a key verse in this passage, as it explains where the power of church comes from. See, the power of church does not come from an establishment. The power of church does not come from any organizations. The power of church does not come from the council or the governing authorities. The power of church comes from God alone. The power of church comes from Jesus. You see, Jesus said, "All authority I give to you. All authority I give to you." And you know what gets me the most is we see church molding and being shaped into what the world wants church to be like.
Yeah.
Rather than church molding the world into what Jesus wants the world to be like.
Yeah.
See, something has happened over the years. See, the early church fathers, when they passed on the message of the gospel from one generation to another, somewhere in between something happened. Somewhere in between someone watered down the gospel and presented the gospel to fit a person's idea, to fit a person's lifestyle. You see, when I read the Bible, I don't change the Bible changes me.
Amen.
See, when I read the Word of God, I don't change the Word of God. I've got no authority to change the Word of God. See, but when I read the Word of God, when I open myself to the Word of God changes me. The Word of God cleanses me. See, I've got no righteousness of my own. I've got no power of my own. See, my understanding takes me everywhere. Before I came to Jesus, my understanding took me to all different dark places. And that's what I needed, light in my life. I needed light in my dark part of my heart. And that's why I gave my life to Jesus. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I knew that Jesus was going to change my life forever. I knew that my life was not going to be the same. See, I knew there was some purpose behind why Jesus saved me. And I want to say the same thing to each and every one of us this afternoon. There's a purpose for why you are here this afternoon. You're not here just to attend church.
No.
You're not here just to hear the message. No. You're not here just to sing a couple of hymns. No. You're here for a greater purpose than that.
Amen.
You're here because God is calling you.
Yeah.
You're here because God has called you here.
Yeah.
You're here because God has called you to be an influence.
Okay.
You're here because God has called you to be His follower. You're here because God has called you to be filled with His Spirit.
Yeah.
And I pray to God that it's going to happen today.
Yeah.
Amen. It's the day of Pentecost. See, ordinary people were doing extraordinary things because the Spirit of God was moving in their lives and through their lives. That's the power of God.
Yes.
The ministry of Holy Spirit is not optional. No, it's not optional. It's necessity.
Okay.
It's necessary. for each and every one of us, it's necessary. You see, Holy Spirit is not one of them optionals add-on in my life. No, Holy Spirit is necessary for me because Holy Spirit convicts me, because Holy Spirit guides me, because Holy Spirit helps me, because Holy Spirit reveals the truth to me. See, so many times we try to work things out on our own strength. And the reason why it hasn't worked out is because we've tried doing it on our own strength. Acts 1:8, it's a promise. Receiving the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promise, is a gift from God to His people. So you might ask, so how do we receive the Spirit? How do we receive the Spirit? See, when I was reading this passage of Scripture, God gave me three things. And I'd like to share those three things with us this afternoon. First thing is this, surrender. Receiving the Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit requires surrendering to the Spirit. See, one of the disciples, Peter, there was a process that he had to go through. That process of refining. See, we don't hear this being preached that often, but this is a biblical process, okay? When we come to Jesus, we hear messages that say, when you come to Jesus, everything is going to be fine. You're not going to have any troubles in life. It's all sorted, you know, but we just heard the scripture this afternoon, Psalm 27. There are going to be troubles.
Yeah.
There are going to be trials.
Yeah.
There are going to be storms. There are going to be some rough roads that we have to go through. You know, and even though we don't want to go through them rough valleys, you know, we've no choice. We have to go through them rough valleys because it's a refining process.
See,
it's a refining of character. Refining of character is so, so important for each and every one of us. Maturity.
Yeah.
See, we can... Age doesn't mean anything. I've met 40, 50 years old and people I've met, they're not mature. And I've met some, you know, some very youngins and you listen to them and they're very mature. You see, so age does not bring maturity. See? But wisdom brings maturity. Wisdom brings maturity. And for us to walk in this path of wisdom and for us to grow in this process of refining and maturity, we need to set about some real boundaries in our lives. And one of those boundaries is we have to learn to surrender our all to Jesus.
Yeah.
One of those boundaries is we have to learn to trust God. It's very simple, isn't it? Learn to trust God, but it's a very difficult thing to do. Learning to trust God. Because learning to trust God means letting go of your everything. And saying to Jesus, Jesus, I don't understand it all. I don't have it all. That's why I come to you. Lord, lead me and guide me and fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. See, what sort of boundaries have we inclined in our lives this afternoon? What sort of boundaries have you got in your life? What sort of boundaries have I got in my life that keeps me in the right track? What sort of boundaries have I got in my life that helps me to wholeheartedly follow Jesus with everything in me? See, we talk about I surrender all to Jesus. But when we say I surrender all to Jesus, most of the time we're holding on to things. And our lips are saying I surrender to Jesus. But our lives aren't fully surrendering to Jesus. See, surrendering to Jesus means letting go of unforgiveness. Surrendering to Jesus means letting go of bitterness. Surrendering to Jesus means letting go of all of your past hurts. Surrendering to Jesus means letting go of your past and saying, you know what? I can't change my past, but I can do something about my future. And this future, I'm going to choose to run with Jesus. You see, Peter, there was a process of refining for him. Peter was a very, very fiery man, as you've read in the Gospels. You know, any sort of questions Jesus would ask, Peter would be there. Yes, Lord, I'm here. You know, what's the question? I've got the answer. Peter was there. You know, he was a very passionate man. He was a very charismatic man. But there was loads of maturing things that needed to be taking place in his life.
Yeah.
And it was all part of the process. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, no, Lord, that's not going to happen. You know me. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be here for you. Peter denied 3 times to Jesus, said, I don't know him. See, Peter, full of guilt, He goes back to his old trade, fishing. And when he's fishing, all of a sudden, there's this man shouting from the shore, "Have you caught any fish yet?" See, Peter had heard that voice before. But Peter's heart was so filled with condemnation, Peter's heart was so filled with guilt. See, all them lies of the enemy was blocking the voice of God. All them lies of the enemy was blocking the voice of Jesus. And finally, when he cast his net, and when they caught all the fish, it was like, flashback, this has happened to me before. And Peter knew there and then that it was Jesus calling him. Yeah. See, this afternoon, you might be sat here and you might be thinking, I've messed up. See, I was running a good race, but I've messed up. Everything was still working well for me, but I've messed up. And it's just, I don't know what to do. Jesus is calling you. The scripture reminds us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He knows us. See, we think like, oh, I failed, I've made a terrible mistake. But you see, God's not fazed by our mistakes. God's not fazed by our failures. He already knows what we're about to do before we do it. See, at that moment, Peter, he had two options. Either to completely forget about Jesus and carry on with his life, or to go back to Jesus and say to Jesus, "Lord, I love you. And I want to follow you." And he does the latter. See, he goes to Jesus and he says, "I love you, Lord." So Jesus asks him again, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "I love you, Lord." Asks him the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "I love you, Lord." And he breaks down in tears. It's like, "Lord, I love you." See, Peter was carrying so much brokenness in him. Peter was carrying so much guilt in him. And you know, the beautiful thing about the gospel is when Jesus was resurrected, he said, "Go tell Peter also." Peter wasn't there, but Jesus said to the others, "Go tell Peter also." When Jesus resurrected, Peter was the first thing on his mind. See, every time when we think we mess up, every time we think, oh, I don't know, I was running a good race, what happened to me? Jesus wants us to know, God wants us to know that His grace is more than enough. His grace is more than enough. Christ must increase in our lives and we must decrease. Christ must increase in our lives and we must decrease. Not our understanding, but trusting in the Lord. Amen. So how do we receive the Spirit? We receive the Spirit surrendering to Jesus. We need to learn to surrender. Each and every one of us. We need to learn to surrender every aspect of our lives. See, I need to learn to surrender. See, there are things even in my life that perhaps I haven't fully surrendered to. There are things probably in your life perhaps you haven't fully surrendered to. And we're going to have a bit of opportunity in the end where we're going to surrender everything to Jesus. Amen. Because I believe God wants to set us free today. Amen. Today, God wants to set us free today. Secondly, receiving the Spirit. See, receiving the Spirit requires surrendering. That was the first thing. Secondly, receiving the Spirit requires obedience. Obedience. Amen. See, the promise is there, but it requires responding. And our responsibility is obedience. The disciples received the baptism of the Spirit because they were obedient. Amen. They were obedient. See, there were many followers of Jesus, but when we read Acts, okay, chapter 2, we only see 120 people in that upper room. What happened to the others? Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 2 again, please. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, amen? In one place, with one heart. Suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit. I mean, all of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, it was the Spirit that enabled. And for disciples in this context, a baptism of the Spirit was a result of their obedience.
Amen.
You see, the Word of God is there. And most of the time, the reason why we don't receive the Spirit is because we're not obedient to the Word of God. So the Word of God is very clear that you will receive power when the Spirit will come upon you. You will receive power. The Word of God is very clear. It says, the Spirit of God. All of them were filled with the Spirit of God. God says that He gives the Spirit of God to those who obey Him. Acts chapter 5, verses 32, if you want reference for that. It's in the Bible, obedience. God says that He gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. See, two things happen here in this account. Two things. Firstly, when the Spirit of God came upon them, the Spirit of God cleansed them. Okay? The Spirit of God cleansed them. What do you mean cleansed them? Okay? The Spirit of God cleansed every bit of fear, doubt, and confusion in them and from them. You see, one of the reasons that blocks us from receiving the Spirit of God is doubt. Is the Spirit of God ready for today? Is the Holy Spirit ready for today? Can Holy Spirit really fill my life? Can I really be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Doubt. See, when we come to God with doubt, automatically that doubt stops us from receiving the Holy Spirit. Secondly, fear. Because the Holy Spirit is now going to reveal things to you. See, the Holy Spirit will now reveal things that has always been in your heart. And it is going to be painful. The process is not going to be easy. It's going to be painful. And that's why when we approach the Holy Spirit in fear, see, that blocks the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, confusion. See, we try to work it all in our own understanding. We think, oh, we can work the Holy Spirit in our own minds. See, because we have boxed Holy Spirit in this little brain box, and we're trying to work the whole ins and outs of the Holy Spirit. That's where we limit the move of God in the church. That's where we're limiting the move of God in our lives, because we're boxing the Holy Spirit. But our brains cannot hack the Holy Spirit, amen? We need spiritual brains for Holy Spirit to operate. Our natural brains cannot understand the whole mightiness of God and His Spirit. And that's what we need to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse every bit of fear. Every bit of doubt. Every bit of confusion. From us and in us. And we're going to pray for that later on after this message. Okay? So two things already. Okay? The first thing we said about was surrender. We need to do some surrendering this afternoon. Okay? We need to do some surrendering this afternoon. Secondly, we just read this about obedience. And within that context of obedience comes this whole element of understanding that the Spirit of God wants to clean us. The Spirit of God wants to cleanse us. Okay? See, we don't realize, but it's like wearing a white t-shirt. Each and every one of us, when we come to Jesus, it's like we're wearing a white t-shirt. And you know, when you're wearing a white t-shirt, when you wear it for a couple of days, you begin to see a bit of dirt here and there. And the only way to keep that white t-shirt white is by using some good detergent, is by using some good bit of washing material in it. And washing it constantly on a weekly basis, on a regular basis. But if you continue wearing the same t-shirt for a month, for a week, my Lord, for a year, if you're wearing the same t-shirt, then that white t-shirt is going to be a black t-shirt. Okay, something needs to be done about that t-shirt. And it's the same principle when it comes to the Spirit of God as well. See, we might be saying, oh, but I've been baptized in the Spirit of God. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, baptism in the Holy Spirit is one thing, but being filled with the Spirit is another thing. We might be baptized in the Spirit, but the Bible says be continually to be filled by His Spirit. Amen? We need to be constantly be filling our spiritual tank each and every day. See, I've got my bottle there. and I've drank most of the water in it, and I can't just take my bottle and say, oh, this bottle is full. You know, I can argue, say, no, it's got water in it, but I can't say this bottle is full because it's not full, but it's got some water in it. And it's the same for each and every one of us as well, the Spirit of God. See, this is our spiritual tank. And on a regular basis, what we do is we drink, okay? And on a regular basis, because we face the world, because we're dealing with a lot of things in the spiritual, although we don't realize we're dealing with the things in the spiritual, but the Bible is very clear that the fight is not against blood and flesh, but it is the principalities. Okay, it is a spiritual battle. And we see the amount of anxiety attacks people get. It's not the things that's happening in the natural, it's the result of what is happening in the spiritual now that's showing in the natural. But the anxiety attack, panic attack, depression, all of this has got spiritual roots. Okay? And that's where we're constantly dealing with the spiritual roots. And our spirituality is draining on a regular basis. And that's where we need to be filled with His Spirit. We need to be filled with His Spirit. That's what we need to receive from His Spirit. So how do you receive from this Spirit? How do we receive from the Spirit? First thing is very simple. Give time to Jesus to fill you up with His Spirit. You might have a very busy schedule, okay? You might be working from 5 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, or you might be working even 6 o'clock from 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the evening. I don't know what sort of schedule you've got, okay? But you have to implement the strict discipline in your life. I need to implement a strict discipline in my life. Regardless of however busy I am or I might be, I need to make myself available to Jesus. We need to make ourselves available to Jesus. You see, Jesus was a very busy man. But He always made Himself available to the Father. And if Jesus, being the Son of God, needed that being filled with the Spirit principle in His life on a regular basis, how much more do we need? See? How do we receive the Spirit? First thing, by giving time to Jesus, and Jesus, fill me up. Fill me up. See, now and again, what I do now is, I've implemented this simple thing in my life. Stop, look up. Stop, look up. Okay? And what I mean by stop, look up is this. What I used to do before is, I used to stop, then I used to look around. Okay? And what I mean by that is, I used to stop and I used to look around and I used to be thinking, oh man, all this mess, and I used to look around all my surroundings, I used to look around all the mess that was surrounding me, and because my eyes was focused on the mess around me, instead of finding rest, I was getting sucked into this dark hole of sadness. Okay? But then the Lord said to me, you've got your perspective in wrong place. You've got your focus wrong. The Lord said to me, when you stop, don't look around you, look to me. Look up. Stop, look up. See, every time when you struggle, every time when you need guidance, don't stop and look around. Because you'll see all the chaos around you, because you'll see all the craziness around you, and it will overwhelm you. It will fill your trouble with more trouble. But if you implement this principle in your life where you discipline yourself to stop, because we have to stop. Because we are human beings, not human doings, you see. God has made us human beings. We are called to be His children first. Before we serve Him, we are called to rest in Him. God wants us to rest. And that's another thing we're going to pray for again. Okay? We're going to pray for some rest for your life. Because I sense that we have some troubled spirits in here this afternoon. Some troubled minds. Your mind's been so troubled this last few days. You're struggling to cope. Your spirit's been so downcast. It's almost like you've lost that sense of joy. And we're going to pray for that. Amen. We're going to pray for that. because the Lord wants to cleanse His temple. And you are His temple. This is building. You are the temple. You are the temple. Amen. And in that same context of obedience, I want to highlight another thing. The Spirit of God filled them with power for service. See? The Spirit of God filled them with power. Firstly, the Spirit of God cleansed them. Okay? The Spirit of God cleansed the temple. And after that, the Spirit of God filled the temple with His power. Amen? With God's power. Filled with boldness and courage. You see, Peter, the same man that denied Jesus 3 times, was now full of boldness and full of courage. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, this is the message he preached. Repent and be baptized. The same Peter who was scared to say a single word to a servant lady is now stood in front of all these men. All this big community, and he's giving them the message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, it's the promise. Obedience. If you do this, you will receive Peter's message. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive. See? We need to do some deep repentance. 3,000 people were added. Receiving the Spirit requires obedience. And thirdly, my last point is this. So we looked at receiving the Spirit requires surrender. We looked at receiving the Spirit requires obedience. And within the obedience, we looked at cleansing of the temple. And we also looked at empowering of the temple. Okay, empowerment of the temple. And now we're going to look at the third element. Receiving the Spirit requires faith. Amen. Receiving the Spirit requires faith. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. If you'd draw your Bibles again, please. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Okay? Peter's trying to get his attention. Peter's trying to get his focus. Peter's trying to make him, listen, don't look around you, but look at us, look up, look at us. Look at us. So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. You see, what Peter is doing to him is Peter is preparing him. Okay? And Peter is making sure that he's not distracted, but he's getting his full attention. And then Peter said, the Bible says, then Peter said, see, Peter has got him to that place of expectation. Now he's expecting something from Peter. Okay? Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Oh, hallelujah. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping and praising them. You see, Peter and John didn't leave him there. He went inside with Peter and John and he jumped and he praised the Lord. Amen. He jumped and he praised the Lord. You see, he did not just walk away receiving the healing. He was so excited. He said, "Oh, I need to give glory to God. I need to give Him praise." When all people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man. You know, imagine people in the temple going, "Oh, who's this guy? What's happened to him? Hold on, it's not the same man who was begging outside, is he?" And they're like itching their heads and thinking, "Hold on, something's not right here." And turns out it's the same man. You see, within that split second, there was such a mighty change in his life that people didn't recognize him. And they questioned, "Who is this guy?" They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, the faith in them was now on full activation mode. The faith in Peter and John was now in full activation mode. They received the Spirit by faith.
Amen.
They were waiting in obedience with expectant hearts. And they received the Spirit by faith. See, the Pentecost event had just become a Pentecost experience for them. It was that event which now became an experience for them. You see, an event can only be an event. But that event needs to be turned into experience. And we need to walk with that experience. Amen. Don't just live for the events. Live with the experience. We need to live with the Pentecostal Holy Spirit experience. We all have faith, but it is activating. You see, it's got that switch button. Bam. Turn it on. And it's been off. Mine was off. But when the Holy Spirit shook me, it shook me all right. You know, he flicked that button, and when that button was flicked, oh, I tell you, my life changed, my perspective changed, and I pray that same button will be flicked on this afternoon for each and every one of us, amen? That activation mode will be on full solid blast activation. Peter, because he had received by faith, he gave in faith, believing that person was going to be healed. We are often too early to settle for the less. See? But God wants to give us the best. See, that man, he was ready to settle for a couple of change. He wasn't expecting miracle that day. He was expecting some money. But Peter had to shift his attention and get his full attention. And God gave him more than money. God gave him healing. Amen? God gave him healing. See, the early church, they were releasing heaven on earth. The apostles, they were carrying the presence of Jesus with them. The early church, they were carrying heaven with them. See, we as a church are not simply here to make present condition of the world more bearable. No, we're not here for that. We are here to release the power of God on earth. That's what we're here for. To release heaven on earth. Receiving the Spirit requires faith. Receiving the Spirit requires faith. That man was healed. Not only was he healed, he went in and he praised God. See, there's going to be some healings this afternoon. The presence of God is here. There are going to be some healings this afternoon. As I was preparing this message, Lord spoke to me a few days ago that Lord was going to heal a few people this afternoon.
Amen.
And there are people with back problems in here. That's the first thing we're going to pray for. People with back problems. Okay? And second category we're going to pray for is people with bad knee. Alright? People with bad back, we're going to pray for them. People with bad knee, we're going to pray for them. And after that, we're going to pray for the surrendering, and we're going to pray for the receiving baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before that, we're going to pray for healing. Amen. We're going to pray for healing. I'm going to ask the leadership team to please help me on this one. Let's just close our eyes. The Spirit of God is here. We've heard the message. We've heard how that lame man heard about Jesus, received healing, and he went in that temple, jumping and praising God.
Amen.
So I want to open up this altar to you right now. If that's you, if you've got back pain, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe for a healing right now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to see that healing take place, amen. While every eyes are closed and every head's bowed, we're going to believe for signs, wonders, and miracles. If you've got a back problem, and if that's you, I want to encourage you to come out, and we're going to pray for you for healing in the name of Jesus.